Father in heaven, we just thank you again for that special promise where two or three are gathered in your name, there you are. And Lord, we trust that you keep your word even tonight. And God, as we are in the middle of transition, different kinds of transition, we pray that you would speak to us and that heaven would give its war cry to its people tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You know, I had a really powerful experience 1 year. It happened about 5 years ago. I had to go teach at our Teen Bible Academy. And I had to go teach about devotions and studying the Word of God. And I remember this as I was just like that morning thinking to myself, what am I going to be talking about? I started praying and I just remembered this old Asian legend. It was about these samurais, these warriors, who actually studied out their swords. And by studying out their swords, they became better swordsmen. And I thought, wow, that's just a great analogy. All I need is a sword that has writing on it. Pretty simple, right? So what I did, like every cheap Indian, I looked up on Craigslist. And I was looking for swords. And it was just like, I got to take off in like the next hour. This is what happened. I looked at all the Craigslist ads, and they were like $60, $70 for a sword. And I thought, look, a sermon analogy is not worth that much. What am I going to do? I went to the office where I was pastoring, and I just got some stuff when all of a sudden I get a knock at the door, and it is the janitor from the school who happened to be there. And he knocks on the door, and I said, come on in. I open the door, or he opens the door. He comes on in. And he was talking to me about some fire alarm that went off at the school. Asked me if I knew anything about it. I said, I don't. And then I look at what he is holding. He is holding a sword. And I said, this cannot be happening right now. And then I said to him, I mean, just imagine this old man opens the door and he's holding a katana blade. What do you think, right? And so I said, hey, why are you holding that sword? And this is what he said to me. I was cleaning out one of the warehouses at the school, and I just found this sword. I don't know what to do with it. You want it? And then I said, yes. And this is what happened. I took that sword, and I opened up the sword, and there was writing all along the sword. It was like Japanese words for like courage and bravery. And I thought to myself, one day I'm going to give this to my son. Amen? I mean, I still have it. It's right by my bed, just in case anybody attacks me. People ask me, why do you have a sword by your bed? And I said, it's a long story. I'll share it with you one day. But friends, the word of God is the sword of God. Can you say amen to that? And this is no ordinary sword. This is a living sword. If you have your Bibles, put them up in the air. And look at the person next to you with a judgmental look for not bringing their Bibles to the iShare conference. You know, tonight we're going to be taking a good look at a very powerful story in the Bible. And it's the story of a man by the name of King David. Now, King David went through so many different experiences that ended up shaping the man he would become. Experiences that would shape his leadership and his influence and leave a legacy for the rest of his life, but not just for the rest of his life, but for all of eternity. We're going to be taking a good look at a very interesting episode in the life of King David. Everybody take your Bible. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 22. And if you don't have a Bible, you can turn to the person next to you and use that Bible with them. 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. You know, we were part of our Teen Bible Academy experience this year, and it was so interesting. For our Teen Bible Academy, what we do is the first week we go out into the woods, learn how to do solitude. Second week we do study. We have different teachers and preachers come on in. The third week we do is we go to a different location and we do service activities. So when I stepped into leading the Teen Bible Academy, the first thing I thought to myself is, we need to find out which trails are going to be good for about 36 students and about 12 different staff. So I went hiking with some friends, and we hiked literally about close to 40 miles of trails the weekend prior before Teen Bible Academy started. The reason why is because there was a late season. All the other trails were snowed in. In fact, there was one trail that I went on with my friend. He knew the trail. We jumped into his CRV that had bald tires. And we went to this location. And we passed this snow bump. We're like, okay, let's just floor it. We floored it. We jumped over. No problem. We got to the spot. We began hiking, checking out the trail. On the way back, we're like, okay, it's time for us to take off. It's night. There was that snow bump, but the problem is that there was no longer a slope on the other side of the snow bump. It was just flat. And we're like, what are we going to do? He's Japanese. I'm Indian. We're going to just charge this thing. And he floored it, all right. We floored it, and he got high-centered. Okay, it's about 10 p.m. at this time. It's the day before my birthday, okay? That snowpack turned into ice. We were stuck. The four-wheel drive just disengaged because the car was lopsided. Some four-wheel drive, huh? And the tires were bald, no longer getting traction. And I thought to myself, this cannot be happening right now. So we got out of the car. There was no shovel. So I said, I got to find something. And we were just looking and digging. I find this tire iron, and I began just hitting the snow as hard as I could. But it was not breaking. It just turned into ice. So we began digging, and now it was about like 12:30 a.m. All of a sudden, we both stopped what we were doing, and I said, hey, you know it's my birthday right now? And he said to me, this is what he said, happy birthday, man. And this is what I said, thanks. And then we both stared out into the wilderness, and I thought, this cannot be how my birthday is beginning. We got out of there. 4:30 a.m. And so we were just looking for other trails the next week. We looked at all the other trails. They were all snowed in. So we're like, let's try out the same trail again. The snow's got to be melted. It wasn't melted, but we took better vehicles. We came to the same trail, and all of a sudden we met this ranger lady, and she said, you don't want to come down this trail. We're like, why not? She said, because there are aggressive bears down this trail. And I thought to myself, she's a ranger lady. She probably knows what she's talking about. So we turned around. The day before our Teen Bible Academy started, I was like, we got to find a trail. We don't have any trail. So we went hiking again. And you know what? We're like, we got to check out this trail. We're persistent, aren't we? So we went down that trail. We got over that snow bump. It was still there. And we began hiking that trail. And we were hiking it. And pretty soon we were walking in snow, trudging through that snow. And we came to this most beautiful spot. We knew this is where God wanted us to be. But there were all these obstacles. And when we came out, it was such a powerful thought. We thought to ourselves, man, this is the place God wants us to be. We took our Teen Bible Academy kids there. They had an awesome time reading the book Christ Object Lessons, Desire of Ages, different books, studying out the Word of God. It was what or the place that God wanted us to be. But all these obstacles stood in the way, and we almost shut down this first week because of these things. Now, the point is this, that God oftentimes leads us into our wilderness experience. But it's through the wilderness experience that he trains us and teaches us. That night, when I came out of that, just stuck in the snow for like several hours in the middle of the boonies, no cell phone reception, I went home. Fell asleep for 2 hours, raced down to Southern California to go see my mom. And the first thing she says to me when she sees me, she's like, what happened to you? And I said, I have an amazing story to tell you. God delivered us from the snow. And she's like, what? And so I began to tell her the story. Like, we were changed by just this episode, right? The Bible talks about David going through his wilderness experience. A time where he was anointed by God, called by God, but all of a sudden, a time where he began to have a crisis in his life. All of a sudden, This man by the name of King Saul began to persecute David. David became a fugitive, had to flee into the wilderness. Now just think about this. He was called to be the next king of Israel. He was called to have a powerful, influential position. And the next thing he knows is he's running for his life in the wilderness. Now let's see what the Bible says takes place when he goes to the wilderness. 1 Samuel chapter 22. 1 Samuel chapter 22. This is what the Bible says right here. David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of what? Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down to their him. This is the cool part right here. And everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. So he became a captain over them, and there were about 400 men. The Bible begins to describe something unusual taking place while David was going through his wilderness experience. Apparently, individuals in the nation of Israel were so upset by the way Israel was being run by King Saul. People who were discouraged, people who were in debt. In fact, let me just put it this way, people who felt defeated. They said, you know what, there's this man by the name of David, we know he's called, we want to join his army. And several men began to join. The Bible says 400 men joined him in the wilderness. Now just think about this. The Bible doesn't give the most amazing positive description about these guys. It just says that they were discontented, distressed, and in debt. Now, when you think about happy people, and when you think about people who are having a great time in life, you don't expect them to just sort of come up and just like, yeah, things aren't doing really well. You would expect a defeated group of people looking probably disheveled. Probably they got some bags under their eyes. Maybe they're dirty. They don't have any money. They're poor. They're people who were looking for David. And what was so strange is apparently they were attracted to his leadership. You know, when I was about about 21, 22, I remember when I started ministry and there were all these powerful young adult leaders and they were so inspiring. And it was such an awesome thing because I thought to myself, man, that's what I want to be. I want to be what they are. But I've talked to several young adults recently. And you know what they have told me? They have told me, you know, I'm just not inspired anymore. I'm not inspired. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, what's happened the last few years in the church? It's almost like this kind of inspirational leadership that was taking place sort of just began to just sort of plateau. And everyone is kind of doing their own thing. And it's just like, wait a minute, where are these like powerful people of God, people who inspire people to change the actual course of their life? Where are those people? In fact, David was such a powerful man. He inspired people. These men were like, that's the kind of guy we want to follow. It's so amazing when you actually study out David's life. It's like, how in the world did he become an inspirational leader? Well, here are a few points to remember. Number one, this man was passionate about his worship to God. Can you say amen to that? Do you remember that one time there was like these men who fought for David and they bring him a glass of water. And you know what David does? He stops and he's like, I can't drink this water. I am pouring it out to God. Do you remember that time that David showed up with his men and they secretly snuck up on Saul? And as they're about to kill him, all of a sudden David's like, I can't touch the Lord's anointed. There was something about David's life that this man was passionate about his relationship with God, and everybody knew it, and they thought to themselves, this is the kind of guy I want to follow. You know, I read this book recently called Tribe. And in this book, it chronicles just dynamics between Native Americans and white settlers. It describes Native Americans who were captured by white settlers. And as soon as the Native Americans were free, you know what they did? They went back to their tribe. Okay, so what's the big deal? The second example they looked at in this book were Native Americans that actually were born and raised in white settlement camps. As soon as they came across a Native American from their other tribe, they changed just sort of the direction of their life and they said, we're actually joining the tribe. Even though they weren't born and raised in it. And then the third group of people they looked at were white settlers that were actually kidnapped by Native American tribes. When they were released, you know what they did? They stayed with the Native American tribe. There was something they found in tribes. There was something that they just were like, we're missing this in life. And all these individuals began to join David's tribe because they were inspired by his leadership. You know, I really feel that what makes an inspiring leader different from someone who's not inspiring is an inspiring leader always takes risks. Can you say amen to that? As one preacher said, there are three kinds of leaders. There are undertakers, caretakers, and there are risk takers. Can you say amen to that? The most inspiring leaders are those that are willing to do things that nobody else around them is doing. I mean, just think about it. How did David become an inspiring leader? Well, one day when he was delivering some vegan cheese to his brothers, Adventist version, all of a sudden there's this giant, and this giant is just mouthing off to all the Israelites, and the Bible says Israel trembled. And you know what he said? He said, you know, I defy anybody in Israel to fight me. And the little boy David said, I'll fight him. And I love what the Bible says about him, that when he went after the giant, it said he ran out towards Goliath. Now just think about this. He ran out towards this guy. He ran out towards this giant. And all he had was a sling. A stick with a piece of rope on it. And Goliath, this massive looking man. You know, it's so funny. I've watched the different movies on David, and all the Goliaths look like they're Indian. We are not that tall, I promise. Goliath is there, big hulking Goliath, and he's like, I'll feed you to the birds of the air. And David's like, nuh-uh. And he races out, and he just throws that stone, and it comes flying, crashing into Goliath. And then it's so interesting, you know, David runs up and then beheads Goliath. You know, all of Israel was inspired by this guy because he did something that nobody else would do. That is inspiring leadership. Can you say amen to that? These men were like, that's the kind of guy we want to follow. Somebody who is willing to do things that nobody else will do. Someone we know has a calling of God on their life. The Bible says these men were distressed, discontented, and in debt. It doesn't give any positive characteristics about these men. It just simply says, look, these guys were in trouble. They were upset with the way things were. They were defeated people. And I don't know if you've ever felt defeated long term, but that's probably what these people were. They were defeated. But something happened. You know what's so powerful about this story is that these men who were defeated, people who were discouraged with life and the way things were in the world, something happened to them that was so powerful, something that changed them, utterly transformed them. They became mighty for God. Can you say amen to that? Well, let's find out how mighty they actually became. Everybody take your Bible, go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. Let's find out about this group of people who were distressed, people who were discontented, people who were discouraged with life. Let's find out what happened when they joined themselves up to David and he became a captain over them. 2 Samuel, and we are going to chapter 23. Let's find out about this group of people who joined themselves up to David and were changed by this relationship. 2 Samuel chapter 23, let's start with verse 8. These are the names of the mighty men whom David had. Joseph Basbath, the Tachmonite, chief among the captains. He was called Adino the Esnite because he killed 800 men at one time. Now, just think about it. Here was probably this guy, Dino. He's probably the guy in the back, probably a little bit timid. He's probably there just like, hey, they're like, everybody's like, hey, who wants to pray? And he's just looking down. But the Bible says something happened. He apparently became a mighty man. He killed off 800 Philistines. In fact, this whole chapter becomes even more amazing. Let's continue with this. Verse 9, and after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo. What a name, huh? Whose son are you, the son of Dodo? That's not intimidating at all. Let's find out about the son of Dodo. The Hittite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines, who were gathered there for battle, that the men of Israel had retreated. He arose and attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day, and people returned after him only to plunder. The Bible describes apparently this battle that took place, and all the Israelites that were there were like, hey, this is too much. We better take off and get back to base camp. And this man's like, nuh-uh. And he begins fighting them off. And the Bible says he clutched that sword so hard that by the time the battle was done, it was like, I can't let go of this sword. Can you imagine him eating lunch? Going to bed that night with his wife, sleeping, and his hand is just stuck to this sword? Have you ever had that feeling? Maybe you were playing tug of war. You clenched the rope so tight, and by the time you were done, you were like, oh. This man fought with such intensity that the very weapon that he carried became part of him. He fought so powerfully that he just could not let go. It was just part of who he was. It gets even more intense than that. Let's continue. Verse 11. And after him was Shammah, the son of Gi, the Horite. The Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. Lentils. I don't even like eating lentils. Let's continue. So the people fled from the Philistine, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. So the Lord brought about a great victory. Here was this field of lentils. Maybe it was the food source for the Israelites. And here he is. He marked his line in the ground, and he says, look, I am not moving from this ground. And all these Philistines who began to attack, he just stayed his ground, and they were just falling one after the other. And the Bible says the Lord brought about a great victory. These men became courageous under their captain. Can you say amen to that? It gets even crazier. Let's continue reading. Verse 13. And three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, oh, that someone would give me a drink of water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem, which was by the gate, took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. David one day is just looking out, and he sees Bethlehem surrounded by the Philistines, this land that was meant to be holy. And he's there, and he's just like, man, I wish I could drink that water that's in the well by the gate. And do you know what the three of his men did? They said, let's go. And they begin to go, and I just imagine one of them on one side, the other on one side, and they're fighting to get to the well, and he's like pulling up water out of the well, and two of the men are like, hurry, man, hurry. And they're just fighting people off. He grabs that water. He grabs the sword. And they just begin to fight their way back. Three men. They just fought their way through this troop of Philistines. Now, many times we think, oh, the Philistines, were they just kind of like jokers? I mean, it seems like they're always being defeated. You know, if you go to the British Museum, you will see archaeology on the Philistine army. They were fierce warriors. These were no jokers. But these three mighty men, they were like, we got to get water for our captain. We got to bring him a drink of water. And they get to him, and they say, we've got you water. And all of a sudden, he's just looking at these men. They probably got cut marks. They're probably bruised. They're just tired. And David looks at this sacrifice and he's just like, look, I can't drink this water. It's holy water. Not Catholic water, holy water. And he dumps it and he says, this is God's water. And then I want to introduce to you probably my favorite mighty man. He's going to be, it's also the name of my future son. Probably my favorite mighty man of all time, Benaiah. Let's look at what the Bible says right here. Go to verse 20. This is good stuff right here. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, a son of a valiant man from Kabzeel who had done many deeds. He killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also gone down and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Now I want you to think about this. Has anybody here ever seen a lion before? Raise your hand. Like, I'm not talking about on TV. Like a real bona fide lion. How many people have actually seen one not in a zoo? Raise your hand. Okay, a few people. I had a friend I was driving with one day. We were going to Yosemite, and we were just talking, la, 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 la. And all of a sudden, it was like everything just went into slow motion. And this majestic mountain lion came right in front of us, and it was just running. And I was like, And everything was just slow motion. I was like, whoa. And my friend was like, And we were just seeing this lion, and it was so big. Now, I thought mountain lions, I was like, oh, they're pretty small. The media fools you, friends. This thing was huge. And it was so big, and I was like, oh my, this thing is much bigger. And we had a friend in the back who was distracted on their phone, so they didn't get to see what it was. Pay attention, amen? This man, Benaiah, all of a sudden, for whatever the reason, they come to a pit and there's this lion that's there. This is a trapped animal. And a trapped animal is a dangerous animal. This animal is trapped. Maybe it was an animal that was attacking their flocks, their food resources. For whatever the reason, they're like, it needs to die. And it's in a pit. And it's a snowy day. Do you know how hard it is to maneuver in the snow? It's almost like you're like, this guy, Benaiah, is looking down. All these men are looking down. There's this ferocious lion. And Benaiah's like, give me a spear. He gets a spear and he jumps right into this pit. And through the snow, he manages to kill this lion. Now, I want you to think about how intense this is. He killed a lion. You know what's so interesting? 2005, true story. There was this article called The Baddest Man Alive. It's about this Kenyan farmer. And what was so interesting, one day he was working in his field and all of a sudden, this leopard comes out of nowhere and attacks him. A big cat, and it's trying to kill him. This man has a machete in his hand and he's trying to get his arm free. And this leopard's trying to go for his throat. This is a true story. Trying to go for his throat. And all of a sudden he's like praying and he's like, Lord, what do I do? God speaks to this man and says, drop your machete. He drops the machete, and then the next thing the voice told him was, reach into the leopard's mouth and grab the tongue. He slips his hand into the leopard's mouth. I know some of you guys are Googling. Go ahead. I checked it out. The leopard closes in, but he's clutching the tongue now. As soon as the leopard releases, he yanks the tongue out. And the leopard starts like choking and coughing and then dies a few feet away from him. The man throws the tongue down and his arm is cut up. And when the authorities get there, they see this old Kenyan farmer leaning on a staff. His arm is just bleeding. There's a dead leopard there. There's a tongue on the right there. Drop the machete and grab the tongue. You know that's advice that comes from the Lord, right? The man killed the leopard with his bare hands. And when they get there, they're just like, there's this old man there. And there's a dead giant cat there. There's a tongue. I just sometimes think the tongue maybe was wiggling around or whatever. But it was there. And the man is leaning on a staff. And they're like, what happened? He's like, God told me to grab the tongue. Now imagine him coming home that night. His hand, his arm is bandaged up. You can see the pictures. I know some of you guys are looking at the pictures right now. His wife said, what happened, honey? I just killed a leopard today. What? How'd that happen? God just told me what to do and I did it. This guy, Benaiah, is like that too. He killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. Apparently some really intense warriors. He took them out. And then during this episode where there was this pit, this man's like, put me in. I'll take him on. He jumps in. And then look what it says next about this guy, Benaiah. This is interesting. Verse 21. And he killed an Egyptian. A spectacular man or giant man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand. So he went down to him with the staff, wrestled the spear out of the Egyptian's hand, and killed him with his own spear. Now just think about this. There's a giant Egyptian warrior there with this, like, this spear, and it's sharp. And then you have this Benaiah guy, and he's like, give me a stick, and they give him a broom. Literally, he just took a staff. And he gets close to this giant, and somehow he's able to just to get the spear away, and then he takes out the Egyptian. Now, friends, this is so amazing when you begin to think, wait a minute, this are you telling me this group of mighty warriors were once this group of people who were defeated in life? Yes, they were. But do you know what changed them? It was their time with their captain. They were under the leadership of David. And as they were under the leadership of David, this defeated group of people became powerful, victorious warriors for God. Can you say amen to that? And that's powerful when you begin to think about that. Friends, I want you to know something. At these end times, the Son of David is calling people from every walk of life to join his army. And people who are defeated, people who are discouraged, people who are in debt and distressed about life, people who are discontented under the way the current government of the devil is being run, people who feel utterly lost, the Son of David is calling them to join up because he wants to be a captain. And friends, when you are in the army of the Lord, your captain is a mighty captain. Can you say amen to that? Jesus is a powerful, inspirational figure. You know what's so interesting? People all over the world are looking for inspiration. People are looking for genuine, legitimate, inspirational role models. That's what this world is truly wanting. They're looking at people. And you know what's happening constantly? We look at the media. We're being discouraged by people. We're seeing the defeat of people. We're seeing the discontentness of people. And the world right now is looking for men and women who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Can you say amen to that? You know, I want to share something with you. Powerful quote found in the book Patriarchs and Prophets. Every time I read this, my phone starts shaking. This is what it says right here. Got to get this. This is so amazing. God has a work for every one of the youth. Never did men achieve greater results for God and humanity than may be achieved in this our day by those who will be faithful to the God-given trust. I got to read it one more time. Never did men achieve greater results for God and humanity than may be achieved in this our day by those who will be faithful to their God-given trust. Now, friends, just think about this. When you take a good look at all the powerful people in Scripture, people like Abraham, people like Moses, people like Samuel the prophet, people like Elijah or Elisha, people like Nehemiah, people like Paul the apostle or Peter the apostle. Ellen White says, look, and regardless of what all they have done, God wants to do something that's never been done before in this generation. You know, sometimes we think to ourselves, well, I hope I get close to their example. I hope one day I can kind of be like a man after God's own heart. Her words are, guess what? God wants to do something greater than what they were. Can you say amen to that? I mean, this is powerful. At the end of time, the Son of David is calling every person who are willing to join themselves up with his tribe and be changed and transformed. You know, they did this study on phobias. You know how many phobias there are in the world today? Like a lot. That sounds really scientific, Anel. There's about 2,000 plus phobias. One of them is even a phobia of phobias. Researchers say that there are actually two universal phobias that people have, that babies actually have them. The rest are cultivated. Well, what are they? It's a fear of loud noises and it's a fear of falling. Universally, they found that babies actually had those phobias, but the rest of phobias they don't have. In other words, those other phobias are cultivated. We live in a world of sin that has produced great fear in the heart of humanity. And do you know what God does when he changes and transforms us? He begins to remove those cultivated fears out of our hearts and minds. And he begins to give us a courage and a bravery that we never had before. One that is willing to challenge and prove the promises of God and see what the Lord can do in these end times. Friends, the mighty men are hung in just sort of the history's eternity. These things will never be forgotten, but guess what? At the end of time, God wants to have a generation of mighty men and women who will do things this world has never seen before. Can you say amen to that? You see, when you join up with the captain, he begins to change you and transform you. And all of a sudden, you're finding yourself doing things, you're like, what? You begin to be inspired by the Son of David. You begin to be drawn, and you're like, if Jesus did this, I can do this. You know, these mighty men, by the way, they killed off the four brothers of Goliath later on. These defeated group of people, these discouraged group of people, these people who were in debt, who were in poverty. Under David's leadership, they became bold and courageous, and they said, oh yeah, giants? We can deal with giants. Philistines? We can deal with Philistines. And they would charge in to the front of the lines. Friends, at these times, God is raising up people who are doing things, who are achieving results that nobody prior has ever achieved before. But God is calling you to join up with his tribe, with his army. And you will find a transformation, a change take place that you never thought possible. There were times before I became a Seventh-day Adventist where I constantly felt defeated in my life, where I constantly was wrestling with discouragement, time after time after time. But friends, when I began to join myself up to this tribe, this army, all of a sudden it's like God began to change things. Now it's like, when does Anel stop talking? Do you know the first time I ever preached a sermon? It was so bad. So bad. You know what I did? I was preaching the sermon, and all of a sudden, I got off the stage, and I'm like, I'm out of here. I skipped the handshaking part. I was call portering at that time, and I went into the canvassing van. It was left open, and I was in the back of the van, just staring. Just staring like that. Literally, this is what was happening. And I could see everybody talking out there. They were just going to the potluck room. You know when you skip potluck, you're really discouraged. And I was there in the back. Yeah, amen. Yeah. I was there in the back and I was like, I just preached the word. I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm done. And I was just there in the back and I said, I'm finished with this. And I was just kept mouthing off to myself. All of a sudden, the door opens and there was this like 15-year-old call porter kid who happened to be on my program. He's like, Anel, what are you doing here? And I said, were you not in church? He's like, yeah, you preach. And I was like, that was the worst sermon in the history of the universe. And he's like, this is what advice this 15-year-old kid gave me. He's like, Anel, how many books were you selling when you first started? I said, I don't know, 2. He's like, how many now selling? I go, 7 or 8 a day. He said, how'd that happen? He said to me, how did that happen? I said, I just kept doing it. And he's like, it's the same thing, man. Do you know what he did next? He just kind of nodded and he closed the door and walked off. And I remember I was just like looking at him while he was going into the potluck room, and I'm like, who is this kid? I mean, I was just giving sage advice. The voice of God spoke mightily through this 15-year-old kid to me. I was like, I got to keep doing this. I got to keep trying. Yeah. Friends, we got to keep going forward. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. We're living in a time and age where God is calling his people to rise up to the challenge. A time where God is calling his people to stand up for him. It's not a time to back away. The line must be drawn in the sand tonight. It's a time where we're saying, God, I want you to keep working in my life. I want to keep going forward. You are my captain, and I am not going to stop. You've got to keep changing me. You've got to keep transforming me. You cannot give up on me. Friends, God is doing a powerful thing in these end times. And he is calling all those who will heed his voice to join up with the army of the Son of David. The last Son of David is making his call to this world. Who will join him in the wilderness? There's an imposter on the throne right now. Someone who claims to be the king of this world. But friends, this man, this being, is a defeated foe. Amen. Our captain has already achieved the victory. And we're not fighting for a victory. We're fighting from a victory. The victory of Christ. And God is calling all those to join up. You find yourself concerned, anxious. You're finding yourself discouraged, worried. The call is going out. Join up with the Son of David. Join up with this army that God has been forming, the army of the Lord. And you will find you will not be disappointed by your captain. In these times, God is calling for people who are willing to risk it all. People are willing to do things that have never been done before. Is that you? These men, they understood something, and that was this. This wasn't their mission. This was David's mission. And they were willing to give up life and limb to see that the mission of David, the calling of David, would be fulfilled. Friends, one day Jesus will be king over this planet. And his army will not stop. They will not back down until this mission is completed. Until the day that Jesus' feet touches this planet. God is calling for an army, a group of people from every tribe, nation, and tongue that will heed the voice of the Son of David to be part of this group of amazing people. You may find yourself not worthy. That's what God starts with. Amen. You may find yourself discouraged, defeated spiritually. God is calling you to join up with him. And you will see that you cannot be defeated when Jesus is with you. Can you say amen to that? God is going to get you to where he wants you to go. More than what you want to do. More than the place that God wants to. More than the place that you want to get to. God is going to get you there. But he's calling you to join up with him. To heed the voice of God in these times. There are amazing things that are happening. And friends, we are probably further along in end time events than we thought. This morning, was preaching somewhere else. And I don't like to be late. I said, I'm not going to be late. Looked at the watch early in the morning, got up from the call porter alarm from the pool early today. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do my devotions, shower, get ready to go. I was supposed to be at this Sabbath school. I was also teaching Sabbath school, 9:30. I said, it's going to take me 25 minutes to get there. I'm going to leave at 8:50. So I kept looking at the hotel clock. It was 8:45. I got a few minutes. Then it was 8:50 at the hotel clock. Then it was like, okay, it's time to leave. I looked at my watch. It was already 9:03. And I was like, oh no. I still got to get my shoes on. I got to get ready to go. I got there, but you know what I realized? I just thought I had more time. I just was looking at the wrong clock. And time was slipping away. Friends, there's less time. There's less time. We're coming to the conclusion of this thing. God is calling you to join up with Him, to make a commitment and say, Lord, I am part of the army of the Lord. I'm with you. I'm in this thing with you, Lord. Be my captain. Lead me through the valleys, through the mountains. I'm not going to separate myself from you. And see me through all the way to the end. Today, if you are heeding the call of the last son of David to join up with him, my appeal is very simple. At the end of our share, that you would come forward and say, Lord, I'm in this. I'm in this. I want to be part of the army of the Lord. If that's your desire, I want you to come up to the front right now. As we are coming to the end, you're willing to say, look, Lord, I'm stepping into this thing. I'm with you. You're my captain. I felt discouraged in life. I have felt defeated in life. I'm anxious about the future. But I'm joining myself up with you. And you will find the Lord does not reject any who will come to Him. He will not push away those who feel just broken. The captain of the army of the Lord has unsheathed his sword for these end times. And God is calling you to join up. And the results that take place during these times, where God's people are willing to risk it all, will be far greater than what's been done before. You got one life to live, and you only got one time being a young person, friends. Give it to the Lord. To God, I'm willing to jump into this. Amen. I'm willing to risk it all. I'm willing to join up with you. Amen. That you may do in my life what's never been done before. Amen. 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 I'm going to invite our musicians up to the front. They're going to be sharing a special song. And as this song is being sung, I want you to make it the prayer of your heart. Lord, help me to be all that you are calling me to be in these times. Help me to be all that you've called me to be. Help me to be willing to risk it all for the kingdom until the day that you return and you are established as our King. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for such a time as this. Thank you for what Ellen White says, that we were needed at this time. And Lord, we pray that we would rise up to the challenge of the times. That God, we would not take our hands off the plow. But Lord, that we would go forward as part of the army of the Lord. And Lord, we pray day by day you may change what we can't change. And God, until the day you return, may we be faithful to our calling. No matter what discouragements we may face. Bless each person. Lord, bless them to trust you and to follow you wherever you go. In Jesus' name, amen.